evening.
Good evening.
Hold on a second. I'll be back in a minute.
Okay.
Has joined.
Good afternoon.
We should have somebody joining us shortly.
Okay.
Has joined.
Good afternoon. Brandy, this is Bracha. Bracha, this is Brandy.
Hello, Bracha.
Hello, Brandy.
So we will begin with the Lashem Yehud, but then we will be studying from section 20 of Parashat Vayera, from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar. We'll be studying Pasuk 253. Lashem Yehud Kud Shabarifu Ishkinte Bidhilu Urchimu Uthilu Uthilu Urchimu Leakta Lashem Yudhe Bavavhe Lehuda Shalim Beshem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La Sok Torah Mitzvah Vayino Amadunai Elohinu Elena Maseya Denu Kanane Elena Maseya Denu Kananehu Rabbi Yehuda Okim Lon Lahane Karae Bioma de Itcharav Be Makdisha Divahu Yoma Itchashku Ilae Utatae Vidchashkan Shemaya the Kochvaya Rabbi Elazar Mokim Bahane kirae, Bayome, Yokim kuchabarihu. Likeneset Yisrael ma'afra, Ahahu yoma, Yitjada le'ela witata diktiv. Bahaya yom echad, uyivada. La Shem Lehahu Yoma Yoma de Dupa Ihu de Zamin Kuchabrihu Lenachma Mishar Yamin O Day Alkom. The translation Rabbi Yehuda related these verses to the day when the temple was destroyed. On that day, both the celestial and the earthly beings were darkened, along with the stars and heavens. Rabbi Elazar explained these verses as follows. The day on which the Holy One, blessed be He, shall raise the congregation of Israel up from the dust, namely at the time of redemption, shall be known on high and down below, as it is written, but it shall be one day which shall be known to Hashem. And on that day, the Holy One, blessed be He, shall take revenge on the idol worshippers. My commentary. With Rabbi Ashlag's comments, the verse is clear as written. Can the current endemic virus be Hashem's revenge on one category of idol worshippers? Can the experience of who catches the virus at another level of who dies be attributed to being an idol worshipper? Of course, we can never know that while we are in the physical body and in the physical world. Questions, comments, thoughts?
I have a question.
The Go one ahead,
about please. On the day both the celestial and the earthly beings darkened, along with the stars and the heavens. Was that a physically darkening, or was that a spiritual darkening?
In one sense, it's also physical, but primarily it's referring to the spiritual. But if you remember the history of the world, after the temple was destroyed, we went into the Dark Ages. Now, initially, we still had the Roman Empire, which was a tool of civilization. But ultimately, that was destroyed along with the wisdom. So we had a clear, you know, it's called the Dark Ages, meaning that until the Enlightenment, which took place over 1,000 years later in the, like, 13, 1400s. But essentially, this verse is talking about the spiritual.
Okay.
You know, what I understand from reading this passage that you assigned is that it's entailing, in a nutshell, what is going to be taking place, because it uses the term, let's see, the time of redemption. And so knowing that you just reviewed that, you know, question that was asked about the spiritual, the stars and the heavens, what I came to understand was that this is referring to the events that were going to unfold when Israel came to the place of where we would go into the end of days, which means when mankind is redeemed from the false illusions of idolatry that has been practiced then and all the way up to our day. As you already know, the temple has been destroyed twice. The first temple signified that the sin of the people when they were taken to Babylon had to do with idolatry, murder, and immorality, basically from what the rabbis have conveyed to all of us who study. Second temple had to do with hatred for no reason, due to the fact of what had taken place in the land of Israel and the second temple amongst the Romans and the Greeks. It was a horrible time for the Jews. It was very trying. And then, as we know, because of their hatred one with another, not necessarily with the Roman people invading, it was amongst their own groups, which, unfortunately, we still have that same problem amongst the Jews with the many divisions that they have. So what I gleaned from this verse you know, because it entails a lot of information in the fact of that it's multi-layered in understanding. And so basically what I came to understand, it was just letting us know when you see these signs, you will know that the repeating of the energy of that time period is now unfolding today, which is true. Why? Because the land of Israel has been in, the people of Israel have been in the land of Israel for 72 years. It's been unfolding into this time event called the time of redemption. So anyway, that's what I understand, but it's even more than that. When they gave the reference of Zechariah, he was explaining what was going to be taking place. I like how each rabbi was making note of their insights. So we know that they were given reference on their insight in a different angle of this reference of the end of days. In the Christian realm, the end of days is what it's called. But to the Jews here in Kabbalah, it's referred to as the time of redemption. So, you know, I did send you an explanation of what I understood from what I had read.
And it's well said.
Okay, thank you. And so there's no need for me to explain the whole thing that I had written you. But basically, it's just reviewing through Kabbalah that your fundamental knowledge of Torah, of the history of the Jewish people all the way back from the time they were given the land of Israel, and this is a repeating cycle that now is bringing us to, in my opinion, the elevation of the earth being elevated spiritually, which includes all of mankind. So when you read and understand what took place for the Christian realm, who is a breakoff from the Jewish people, which means that these were the pagans originally who wanted to know and be part of the Jewish nation, but many of them were unable to apply the stringency of the laws, of the letter of the laws, the way the Jews have been commanded by Hashem to live at that time, which is now being lived today. So even their history, when they broke off, because they started, 300 years after, after the first temple was created, I believe? No, second temple. So, and then after that, the Ishmael family, they were created 700 years after the Christian as well. Each holding apart, and what unites them has to do with the they're leaning on the Old Testament, which is a testimony of what was given to the Jewish people per se from Hashem since Mount Sinai. So all I understand is that this particular verse is alerting you. These are the signs that you look for that will be unfolding, but you have to have the basic fundamentals of the Jewish history to understand spiritually what is being conveyed. Basically, that's what I got from it.
You said a lot, so there's...
Right. It's layered. It's multi-layered. So it depends on the reference you come from.
Ratha, all aspects of the Zohar are multi-layered.
Right.
There's all deeper levels. But
I understand that.
If you look at this idea, there is a difference between the time of redemption and the what has come to be known as the end of days. There's a process. Redemption is a process. The end of days is one of the components of that process. So the idea of the darkening of the stars and heavens, it can be multi-interpreted. It can be interpreted in many ways. The darkening of the stars and heavens could actually be in our generation, many people look to Hollywood stars and they look to sports figures as their idols. And so they listen to them, even though they have no more of, you know, education with respect to what should happen in their life experience, just as each person in the generation has its life experience and can speak to those aspects. And yet people look to these quote-unquote stars and sports figures, so they're looking to them as their idols. So that's one way of understanding the idea. And there will come a time when those Hollywood idols and the sports idols will be darkened, meaning that people will no longer follow them. People will be aware that they're no more intelligent and no more right to speak than anyone else. But everyone needs to have some education in order to be able to be a leader of any particular area. That's one way of understanding it. Another way of understanding it is when the temple was destroyed, that what went out of the world was the ability to reach Hashem relatively easily. So in order to reach Hashem in our generation without the temple, our prayers and our meditations and our cleaving is much more difficult than just bringing an animal sacrifice to the temple and having the Kohanim and the Levim participate. It's a very different process, and it's much more difficult today because the temple was destroyed, and that can be the idea that the temple has darkened because of the destruction.
Well, I agree with everything you say. I really do, because I'm on the same thought. So even though we know it's a process going on, Hanok, we know that because of what's taking place at this very moment. The process started in 2012. When all the ancient calendars came to a close, which mankind assumed
started much earlier than that.
Okay, even then, but yet that was the marker for the world. Okay, so what I find when you say that, what is the challenging part that we participate in, Hanok? Number one, when your soul has woken up, that you yearn, and I mean you yearn to be with Hashem. You want to know his ways. You want to understand how to communicate to him from a soul level, Hanok. The way that one can access this is through the Jewish walk, but it can be as difficult. There was one component that I came to understand about the collectiveness of the Jewish nation that each individual understands and is taught since they're children, that they have a Yetzer Ra and a Yetzer Tov. The challenge that stumbles all of mankind, but especially the Israel nation, is how they have gotten their Yetzer Hara in check and balance. And there's several ways of looking at that, depending on where your training has been. But that's where the real challenge is. What does redemption mean according to the Jewish nation as a whole when you're united? It means there'll be no more Yetzer Hara. The inner part of ourselves will be completed because the work that this duality world was created for, Hanok, was created for that process. When you study the Tanakh, you study all the books on the Jewish level, without interference of all the other religions, you will come to understand, as you are processing, how Hashem is working with you to clean out, you know, the influence of the Yetzer Hara. So those who have been more focused on this path are going to know far more than maybe most. That's where the Zedekims come in. That's where it's important that when you reach a certain level of your instruction, that you will hear the voice of God inside of you, who will direct you to the teachers, to the models, who will show you what part of your Yetzer Hara needs to put in check. So, yes, I agree with everything you say because I understand that as well. And so, basically, this verse that you had asked for me to do as well in my studies that I put forth on this, you know, it covers all of this. But if you go on a personal level, on a deep soul level, Pranok, you know that the first step you have to start with is coming acquainted with that Yetzer Hara who's been set up inside of you to distract you from wanting to be close to Hashem. That's the work that's been unfolding ever since the Israelite nation was scattered throughout the world. And Hashem, he works with all people. He really does. But because the Jewish nation is the key, they are the priests and they are the priestess who are to live in such a fashion that they access the knowledge in such a way which you know. Halakha is key to how you access being with Hashem as you are mastering your Yetzer Hara. That's what I've come to understand. And so this is just reinforcing for me, you know, the review of what's taken place. But again, as an individual, as a human being, and path of Hashem, had you come through the door that you were born through, Hanok, that's the door, that's the key of how you came to finish out your karmic work, your tikkun work. It's all in the package. But now that we've entered into the birth pains of Moshiach, that's been talked about for quite a while, we are doing a most intense cleansing and purging, from what I understand. So it's nice to know that on the soul level, which is what you are teaching here, that it covers all of this, but it still directs that we how to guide, how to reach that point, not only as an individual, but as you watch and observe what's going on in the land of Israel, nearing that time when the Moshiach will reveal itself, but it has two different understandings that I don't care to go into, what I've come to understand, do what I do in my own life. But that's what I understand. I think the real work for all of us is the mastery of our Yetzer Hara and our Yetzer Tov, and depending solely upon our Creator in that process, because Torah brings that out. You cannot have that mastery without His help, and that's where the individual instruction comes from. That's why I understand what's going on.
You are correct. The only way to defeat the Yetzer Hara is with Torah. That is why it's referred to as the antidote to the Yetzer Hara.
Yes, yes. And not only that, Hanok, it's connected to how we are operating on a thinking level, on an emotional level, and on the physical level of actions that we take. But it's based on what King David has been stressing in the study of the Tehillim of the Psalms. When you study that work, and you begin to feel, right? But that's my understanding. I won't go any further. But I agree with everything you say.
The problem is, Bracha, you left out the fourth level, the spiritual level.
I understand all, that. That's the guidance.
Let me finish.
That's what I mean. Go ahead.
Let me finish. You have to start at all. You have to deal with the Yetzer Hara on all levels. And you don't ever defeat the Yetzer Hara. You control the Yetzer Hara. And
yes.
There's a big difference.
Yes.
But on
yes,
the national level, on the national level, what takes place in the land of Israel affects all of the other nations. But it's still, the other nations are impacting what's happening at the national level of Israel.
Yes.
The conflict in the national level of the modern state of Israel, but it also in the national, in the level of the Jewish nation in total, what is taking place is this conflict between the Erev Rav and the Jew who has recognized what is their work. What is their spiritual work? What is their physical work? And how they bring the spiritual level into their physical work. But it's all of these different levels. And when you read the Zohar, that's why our community, when we come together, interacts, because each one has a different perspective, some on the individual level and some on the community level. And this is all what we're trying to grow with with this deep Zohar class. Randy, did you want to say?
No, I think she did a good job.
She does. And she's forceful in her expressions, especially today, because Racha is dealing with the same issues that you have had in your own life.
Oh, having wow.
Coming from a place that was not, was coming from a different religion.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Right.
And
that
so,
gives one, go ahead.
And that I think colors the aspect, because you used in your sentence, and I know you didn't realize it, but let me paraphrase what you had said earlier. The Christian world is an offshoot of Judaism, but it really isn't an offshoot of Judaism, because it is inured in idol worship.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas what the Muslim religion did, which was about 700 or 800 years later, what the Muslim religion did is they went back to remove the idols from that. Both religions, their root is pagan, as you said. They were worshiping multiple gods. But in the process of history, in the process of development, both of the religions are not based on what Hashem said. They're based on people creating a religion. The motivation of that may have been pure or may not have been pure. We don't really know. Today, the motivations are not pure. They're all about ego and the importance of the person. And that has affected the leaders of the Jewish nation as well. And what is going on now in the land of Israel, in the modern state of Israel, is this conflict between the Arab Rav and the Jews who were directly descended from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the 12 tribes. So we have this conflict going on where the Arab Rav needs to be separated. But right now it's very mixed, and that's why you have secular Israelis who want nothing to do with religion, and you have many people making aliyah to Israel to be closer to the being able to do the mitzvot in the land. And you have a conflict between the government that doesn't want to allow the people to do the mitzvot in the land. You also have a conflict and an argument and a discussion over the idea of the truly religious person depends on his connection to Hashem. The modern state, the secular Israeli, that his connection is to live more in the physical world. He's not totally divorced from the spiritual, but he's more connected to this physical. And so he reaches to the United States or to England or to these other countries as their solution to the political problems of the world. But this is the same thing that has gone on throughout the time of the prophets. The same idea. We have the perfect example in the time of Jeremiah. I believe it was Jeremiah, who said, if you give up your slaves, then Nebuchadnezzar will not destroy Jerusalem. And the people in Jerusalem gave up their slaves, freed all the slaves, and Nebuchadnezzar changed direction and went and attacked Egypt directly. But right after he changed direction, the people said to the slaves, you're no longer free and you're now back belonging to us. And Nebuchadnezzar, on his return journey, actually destroyed Jerusalem. And the temple was destroyed because of that. So we have the same conflict that you have today, where people are saying, I need to depend on Hashem, and that's my source, or I need to work with and be aware of the other nations, specifically the United States, Russia, and so forth. So there's a lot of confusion in the world. And the recognition is that, in my opinion, the confusion is there. We have to deal with the confusion because our job is to create separation into the two camps. In every level, we have to separate out from our individual Yetzer Hara from the Yetzer HaTov. But we will never eliminate the Yetzer Hara until the Mashiach manifests. And the Mashiach will manifest after the footsteps of Mashiach. And the footsteps of Mashiach will manifest after we have this confusion. So we need to understand, in my opinion, this idea of the confusion. We need to separate so that we can see clarity. And it's not that the other people, the other religions are incorrect. They're incorrect for me. Because for them, there is a purpose. There is a purpose for why there are a billion plus people, Christians in the world. And while there are a billion plus Muslims in the world, there's a reason for that. And all we have as the Jewish nation is 13, 14, 15 million people. But why is this small nation so important? Because this is the fulcrum. This is the middle point in the teeter-totter. The teeter-totter is between sharing and receiving, between recognizing the limitations of and the confusions. But if you ever lose sight of that understanding that the Jewish nation is the fulcrum, but that doesn't mean the Jewish nation cannot exist without the other two. The purpose of the Jewish nation is the balance. We don't have to be large to be the balance, because in a teeter-totter, all it takes is to move one ounce, one inch, one part of an inch off the center, and it goes one way or the other. The balance has to be your consciousness, the Jewish nation's consciousness. That's its role. And what you hear out of the land of Israel, it has nothing to do with consciousness. It has nothing to do with separating away from the nations. And that's the danger. That's all my opinion.
Right, it is. All I know, Hanok, through my emunah and my betachon, as long as you work on your yeser and you do your tikkun work on an individual level, and you trust Hashem that he's the one in charge and he's directing this process of purging and cleansing, yes, there has to be a separation of what's the two camps. those who want to know Hashem and walk with him and live that way versus those who have given up not knowing what they gave up. There's going to be a tremendous revelation beyond the works that was put out by the Dead Sea Scrolls as well as the Qumran Library. The information is coming forth, and that even has made more confusion for people who are aware, especially if you are seekers, regardless of what faith you have come through. When I look at the door that I was assigned to come through and trying to find my way back to an area that my soul was directing, we are in process. We are in a cleansing, purging process. And more than anything, Hanok, it goes right down to the main second commandment, that's the main commentary of the entire Torah, and that is loving thy fellow as thyself. That's the initial with that, but it's all the process. When you think about what you've had to overcome, and that's where the study of Torah and its intensity is needed more than ever before today, Hanok. And yes, men and women must try to see that they're not fighting. What?
Yes, it's needed, but it's not happening. Because,
but Hanok, how do you know that? Every one of us are at different levels.
Of course. Let's put it on a understand something. The Zohar was revealed 1,000 years ago, roughly. It was concealed 1,000 years, roughly. We were taught all through the last 1,000 years not to study the Zohar. It's only in the last 100 years that the Zohar became available to people on an individual level. But understand that every level of Torah, as you go through from the Peshat, the simple level, to the Drash, to the Remes, and then to the Drash, each level that you go up or down, depending on how you're interpreting it, each level is a greater capacity of revelation of light. The highest level is the Zohar. As the sages say, if you study an hour of Torah on Shabbat or an hour of Zohar on Shabbat, the difference is over 1,000 times greater by studying the Zohar. If you study an hour during the week versus an hour of Zohar, it's the same 1,000 times greater. We need that revelation, the power of the Zohar, to be able to balance the confusion, to bring the confusion, to know what is the truth. Because what's happening is the communities, all the different Jewish communities, are saying, my way is correct, therefore yours must be wrong. But that's not Hashem's way.
Right.
Hashem is saying, your way is correct, but so is his way. The other person's way is correct. So we need to understand that, but also keep separated so that we can see clearly. Because when you are inured, when you are influenced by the other aspects of the physical world, and we all are influenced by the other aspects of our society, when you are influenced by these different aspects, you lose sight of, you lose the truth, you lose the clarity of what is truth. And that's the reality that we have to recognize. We are out of time. We will, tomorrow at the same time, we'll be studying the next verse, which is 254. And I just took a quick look, and it's addressing certain verses from Tehillim, chapter 72, verses 9 and 10. I think you will find some significant influences or insights when you look fully into that full verse of the Tehillim, because the Zohar only brings parts of the verse. So you really need the context of the whole verse to have a full insight.
Right.
Andy, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for joining us.
And hopefully we'll be able to continue this.
Okay.
We have a class tomorrow.
Say again, Brandy.
9 o'clock class tomorrow.
9 o'clock in the morning is for Sleep Hope.
Right. Thank you.
Yes. And we'll have a 9 o'clock class tonight for the writings of the Ari.
Okay.
Hopefully there'll be more than one person coming, as there have been recently.
Great.
Take care.
Shalom.
Shalom gadol.